Bill, it's very rare that we get a return visitor.
So rare.
Very honored that this woman is back with us. Her name, yeah, you can put some headphones on if you want. Tamar Manessa. Am I saying it right?
Yes, ma'am, you sure are.
We know you best from being the founder of MASK, Mothers Against Senseless Killings. We had you on when that story surfaced, and I just noticed something. DNAinfo.com, this was dated, when's the 8th? Today.
Yesterday.
Mothers Against Senseless Killings, also known as the Army of Moms, spent the weekend recruiting volunteers for next year. July is coming. June is coming, you said. You're getting people ready, aren't you?
Yes, ma'am. We have to be ready. We have to get out in front of this. We absolutely do. We have to start being a whole lot more proactive. And this is what we're doing.
And getting out in front of this, explain what it is that Mothers Against Senseless Killings does for people who have not heard of this.
We occupy neighborhoods. That's what we do. We occupy neighborhoods to make them safer. We become a presence, more of a presence in the neighborhood than, you know, other elements in the neighborhood that might not be so positive. So where there may be gangs, there are also moms who are going to wipe your nose and make you a meal. I mean, and give you a hug and tell you to pull your pants up. There are moms who are going to do that as well. So we try to bring some sort of balance to the community because there has been none for so long. So that's really what we're trying to do, and that we've seen that really does deter violent crime.
Okay, but just when we spoke to you before about this, it was, I didn't understand it. Like I said, a hug could really make that much of a difference, but it humanizes things. Is that your thought on that?
Yeah, hugs are warm. They're warm. And, you know, just the gesture of hugging, you're opening yourself up to someone and you're letting them in and you're holding them close to you. That is a very intimate thing. It is. And a lot of people, we're so busy building walls instead of building those bridges to each other. And a hug is a bridge. It's a bridge to someone else, and you're letting them in, and we don't do that enough.
This is a question that doesn't have an easy answer, but how did things get so out of hand?
Oh, yeah, that's not an easy answer at all.
It isn't.
No, but it's
things are, be honest,
years
a mess.
And years and years and years of neglect, just years of it. It has been allowed to compound and grow just exponentially over the years.
Yeah.
There are so many things. It's education. It's public housing. It's so many different problems that should have been tackled, that would have taken care of some of this, but it wasn't. It was just allowed to go unchecked. And now you just have this thing that no one really knows. How do you deal with all of this at one time? And especially every day, it seems like there's a new scandal. There's something new breaking. It's something else happening. And it's just like, you know, you're going further and further down the rabbit hole right now. And we could have done things. We could have done little things before to stop these things from happening.
Okay, now it's so huge and it's taken on a life of its own in some of these neighborhoods. Of course, Mayor Emanuel spoke this morning, and it's weird because I heard him mention there are moms and grandmothers on the porch who are watching their kids as they go through the neighborhoods. And he says, you know, respect is a two-way street. We need to respect the citizens of Chicago in order for the citizens of Chicago to respect the police department back. He got very emotional today, and me, little Miss Suburban White person, says, I think he means it. You think he means it?
Not so much. And I mean, I really do wish he did. But even if he did, it would be too late.
What are you not hearing or seeing in him that makes you believe that he's just speaking the words, that he's not meaning what he says?
He's not owning up to anything.
No.
Because Rahm knew. I mean, there have been complaints. I made some myself over the summer sitting out on a block. I made my own. I actually talked to people in his office about things that the police were doing just in the area that we were in. We didn't really get any help with that.
Nothing.
No. So now that it's gotten so big and everyone, I mean, when it's one mom or it's 10 moms making noise about it, then, you know, you can really sweep that under the rug and no one really knows about it.
Yeah.
But when you have 1,000 people in the street on Dearborn and on State, now you have to address it, Mr. Mayor, don't you?
Yeah.
But now it's gotten too big. Now it's a real problem. Before, it was just an inconvenience. But now it's a problem for him. And he waited too long to do this. He's doing what he has to do because he has to do it right now. But if he had a choice, he wouldn't be doing it. And I know he wouldn't, because he didn't do it in June and July when I complained about what the police were doing and the relationship that they had with the young people in the community that I was in and the communities that I have other posts in.
Right.
I mean, there were ample opportunities he had to address this. He didn't do it.
Tamar Manessa is in the studio with us, founders of Mothers Against Senseless Killings. It's known as MASK. And here's my question to you. For people out there that are saying these are bad neighborhoods, they're poor neighborhoods, you know, they're disrespectful, how does it get like that? I know we had you on before and you said that there's a lack of hope. There's a lack of opportunity that I got to be honest with you. I didn't know about before talking to you. We hear about it, but we truly don't know about it. You know about it firsthand.
Yeah. And I get that, because a lot of volunteers that MASK have, they come from Portage Park, from Lincoln Park, from Humboldt Park, from Wicker Park. They come from all of these other parts of the city, and some aren't even from Chicago. And they say the same thing. We didn't know that it was like this. We didn't know, because it's kind of like there are communities on the south side and the west side that are like in a bubble. They're a bubble. People really don't go in, and many people don't really travel out because the employment rate is so high. You're not going off to work. And no one's coming to visit. No one's coming to see what's going on. Or if you need help, no one's coming into it. So you're pretty much in this bubble. So whatever happens in the bubble, no one hears, no one cares about. And it's only when groups like MASK starts to go into these places where there, you know, there are these bubbles, that we can actually be the voice of the people that are inside of the bubble. When we come out, we talk about, like right now, how we're talking about what's going on in the neighborhoods. It's an educational thing. It's lack of opportunity. It's lack of hope. It's the feeling that they don't exist, that they really don't live in this city, that they aren't a part of this city.
They're isolated, it sounds like.
Totally,
I mean,
totally and completely. And whatever happens between people in the neighborhoods and the police, it stays in that bubble. It does.
Tamar, for those of us who don't live in these neighborhoods, this is what we're told goes on, that for a kid growing up in those neighborhoods, they're given two options as a way to get out of those neighborhoods. Number one is sports, which is a numbers game, and it's unrealistic to think that every kid that's playing basketball or football is going to get a scholarship, and the other is drugs. That's what we're told on the outside. But there's got to be the third option that most of us have, and that is just working your way up and going to school and getting a job and then a better job and a better job. Is that an option to these kids, or is that impossible?
Huh? You would think so, huh?
You would hope
so. But that's almost as elusive as the
sports dream.
The sports contracts.
Is it?
The big contract is the kid who makes it out and goes to college and moves up. And no. The American dream is not. It's just not even on the radar of most kids in Inglewood or in Lawndale or Austin. No, they don't think like that. No one has allowed them to even think like that. No one has even given them hope enough to think that way. That's why there are so many problems with the public schools right now. They don't learn hope in those schools. They don't learn that. And I mean, it's kind of like, if this is something that you can never have, how could you believe that you can ever have it?
Right.
It's just like a mythical thing. Like, this never happens to anybody.
Is that fixable?
I think it is. But it I mean, I generally think anything is fixable.
Isn't there a solution to everything?
It is.
Somewhere? You just have to find it?
It's so deep, and it's going to take so long to get out of it. And it's heavy lifting. So it's going to take everybody on board trying to fix this problem. It's going to take all hands on deck. It really is. But the thing is that I wonder is how many of us are actually willing and committed enough to actually be a part of helping out with the solution.
Right.
Because everybody is not into that. Because a lot of people do have that attitude that that's your problem. That's where you live. That's your problem. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You do this, you do that. But it's not that simple. It's not that simple.
What about this 9-year-old who was shot, who was lured into the alley and shot? And the father is saying, I'm not a gang member. I had nothing to do with that. How does that happen? And how do we prevent that from happening again?
I think that is really tragic. It was really tragic, and it was really sad. And it was kind of like when the young man was killed. I think he was 9 years old too, 4th of July. And you know, it, and I, and when he got killed, I said the same thing that I'm saying right now. It's going to happen again if we don't get in front of it. If we don't stop it as parents, it's going to happen again.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's really sad to see 9-year-olds dying. It's sad to see babies dying from gunshot wounds. That is the worst thing in the world.
Unimaginable.
It really is. But if parents don't get involved, and if the community does not get involved and get in front of this, it's going to keep happening.
So what do you say to that father who was an alleged gang member and claims he's not and he had nothing to do with it? What do you say to that father to make him parent that child and prevent that from happening? What can you do?
I think with that father, there's not really much I can say to him. But I have to ask him, what is it? You have to try to figure out what's missing in his life. What if he was a gang member, whatever he was, what drove him to be that way? Because there's a motivation behind all of it.
Yeah.
No one just wakes up and decides that they want to be a gang member, or they want to sell drugs, or they want to put their lives on the line every day for no money or for just nothing. No one does that.
But is the pressure such with a kid growing up under these circumstances where they say to themselves as a young kid, I don't think I have an option. I'm getting such pressure to join a gang just to fit in that I don't have an option of saying no to these people. Is that a reality?
That's a reality. That can happen. That can happen. But that's why we need more groups like us, like MASK, because we do offer an alternative to that. Because a lot of kids are looking for family.
Yeah. They want to belong.
Exactly. They want to belong. They want the support. They want love. They want this.
Sure.
So, I mean, if we can offer an alternative to that, that's what we, you know, want to do. But we can't do it if it's only 10 of us. We can't do that for the whole city. That's why we need as many people to get involved as we possibly can get.
And we'll find out if you would like to help out. We'll find out how you can do that. 312-981-7200 is the number to call. Tamar Manassa in the studio with us, founders of Mothers Against Senseless Killings, MASK. You have a website, getbehindthemask.org. You're on Facebook. You're everywhere. You're doing a noble job here, and you can't do it alone. So we'll talk about how we can get involved and help out. It's 312-981-7200. Bill Leff, Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder in the studio with us right now. The founder of Mothers Against Senseless Killings, or MASK for short, Tamar Manassa. And you have brought someone with you who originally said he didn't want to go on the air, but I knew as the conversation continued, he'd be unable to not jump in. And this is Gwenyayi, a member of MASK Men. And your job, Gwenyayi, is to kind of fill in for maybe the male parent that's not around anymore. Is that true?
Correct. When we're on the blocks with these young men, we feel that they need to see men who look just like them, who aren't necessarily in police uniforms, but who also aren't afraid to engage them and hold them accountable for their actions, because we are the adults and these are our sons, these are our nephews, these are our younger brothers. So we cannot be afraid to go to them and hug them and let them know that we are out here and we care. But also, if you are doing something wrong that is having a negative effect on the neighborhood, that has to stop.
As you serve as an older brother to some and a father figure to others, what is the gist of the conversation that you're getting? When kids come to you and they want to talk about the life around them, what are you hearing?
Well, actually, there's a sense of hopelessness.
Is there?
You know, because one block we went on, as we stood on the corner, at least three young men came up and said, I was shot right here on this corner. One was still in a leg cast from a gunshot wound. So it's almost easy for us to want to walk away and say there's nothing that can be done. But there has to be something that can be done, because all of these young people, they respect somebody. There's somebody who they have to look in the eyes and be held accountable for what they're doing. There's somebody who they have to kind of tell lies to, you know, so that they won't know exactly what they're into. So we're trying to bring that humanity out of them, because if there's somebody who they really love and who loves them, then there's hope for them.
Sure.
I have two boys, and I will admit, they're 13 and 16, and sometimes they lie to me. And you know what? I lied to my parents when I was growing up, too. But when push comes to shove, I'm trying to please my parents, or they're trying to please me. If you have no one that you're trying to please, why do anything right?
Exactly. There has to be someone whose opinion of you value. Because if there's not, then it's easy to not value your own life. Because when these young men are, you know, behind the barrel of a gun, they're not seeing the person in front of them as themselves.
Mm-hmm.
If they did, then it would probably be a lot less easy for them to pull a trigger. Mm-hmm. So with our presence, we want them to see us and see themselves in us so that they start seeing themselves in each other.
This is a question for both of you. What is the relationship like with the police, with the Chicago police right now? When a police officer or two comes down the street, what is that relationship like? It's mixed, isn't it?
It is. I wish it was better than what it is, because I really don't feel like masks can really do all that we want to do and all that we could do, because we do need the police and the police need us. You know, we could really help each other out a great deal.
Yeah.
But I think in theory, the idea of community policing is a good one until they actually see community policing, because sometimes the community has to police the police.
Yeah.
And I think that is a problem. That's something that they really weren't ready for. But that's a promise that I made to the kids in the community when I first started. I'm here to protect you from whoever comes to do you harm.
Mm-hmm.
If that's somebody else that looks just like you, that's another kid, whoever it is, even if it's the police, I'm here to see things. I'm here to watch everything.
Are black police officers a little bit torn right now in the area? They must be.
Do you have black police officers there? Or is it mostly white police officers?
Mostly white police officers. Especially
really?
After 3 p.m. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. First of all, here's just a stupid question. Why? It doesn't seem to make sense to me.
It doesn't. And it doesn't make sense to anyone.
Am I being naive?
No,
Am I not seeing the connection?
It doesn't make any sense to anyone. It doesn't. Does it make any sense to you?
No, but it's a microcosm of what's going on with police forces nationwide. You have police officers coming from different neighborhoods, and they come into a neighborhood that they normally wouldn't be in,
right,
and they're policing it. And so, naturally, there's going to be some type of animosity, because some of them probably don't want to be there anyway.
Yeah.
And so they stop looking at the residents as people and citizens, and it becomes more of a task and more of an overseer type of situation. And so that's where you get this friction between the community and the police.
When I was always taught, you know, if I get pulled over for speeding or what have you, you know, completely cooperate with the officer. And to this day, I still do, because at this point, I guess I've had some officers who have been a jerk to me, but I've never been in fear for my life. But if you get an officer who is not giving you any respect, and it's like, why would you trust them? But this can't continue like this,
no.
Because the police, they are there to help protect where we live and keep things in harmony.
You would think that.
So, I mean, the majority of the police are not an issue, are they? I mean,
you know, I wouldn't like to paint the police with a broad stroke.
Right.
I wouldn't, you know.
Good.
But it seems like that's what they've done pretty much with kids in our community and with people in our community, period. We are all, it's a very us versus them kind of attitude between people in the black community and the police. And that is a problem. So the same way, I wouldn't say that all police are bad. The way that they look at us in our community, even by the end of the summer, pretty much we're out there volunteering and we're cooking food and we're, you know, giving all this love. But we were even a part of that them. We were the other. We weren't,
even though you were there to help
exactly.
and make peace, you were not treated
no,
respectfully.
We were treated the same way they treat everyone else in the community. And actually, it was one of the police officers from that area. The video went viral, and he was actually on YouTube, caught on camera, telling kids from the neighborhood, "Oh, Mike Brown deserved what he got."
Oh,
and the
God.
Reason why we harass black people is because those are the only people that are here, and if you don't like it, you can move out.
What?
And that was the attitude. And this was one of the police officers that I complained about.
What happened? I mean, again, maybe I'm just very naive and a suburbanite, but I thought you had to live in the district in which you were a police officer. Wouldn't that make some sense?
I think you only have to live within
the
city limits.
Just in the city.
It's not the district.
Because to me, that would make more sense. Someone who can have
a relationship with the community.
A connection.
Yeah, but
absolutely.
Nope, they don't have it. They come from all over the city, especially TAC officers. They're from different places. They're not from the immediate community, and they have no real relationship with the people in the neighborhood. And they don't actually work on fostering one either. They are there to do a job. They are there to see some stuff, to oversee it. And that's what they're there for. They aren't. I was told we don't have time to give hugs. That's not what we do.
Well, that's upsetting.
Yeah.
And I know they're talking about all sorts of reform. Mm-hmm. Maybe, I'm being hopeful here, maybe that's one of the things
Hug
that
therapy.
They look at. That should definitely be one of the things that they look at.
Yeah.
But maybe what we're discussing about having people who know the area, who are indigenous, and
yeah.
say, hey, I've been here. I've lived on these streets. Maybe
and
that's
then they
not
have a
bad...
personal investment in yeah. the area because they're
pride
living
in
there.
Protecting
yeah.
your own community.
Yeah.
But one thing I want to say. Anytime there's a crime and they're having problems getting witnesses to come forward to help them solve this crime, they start talking about the no snitching
right.
policy that's preventing them from being able to do their job. Well, what's preventing these bad apples from being picked out within the police department? It's no snitching.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. So there's a contradiction there
yeah.
because they want the community to be involved in helping with these investigations. But then they turn around and they will threaten their own fellow officers and make them not want to come forward
right.
and speak on police officers who are doing wrong. So that's a problem, and they need to address that.
All right. Unfortunately, we are out of time. We need you guys to come back. What does Gwinyayi mean?
It means stand firm from the Shona language. It's from Zimbabwe.
That's what my name, Bill, also means.
No, your name means at the beginning of the month.
That's right. Shovel in the mailbox. That's
yeah.
what I mean.
That money.
No, they don't like you.
You're absolutely right.
Because of your name.
That's true.
And, of course, Tamar Manasseh, founders of Mothers Against Senseless Killings. Very briefly, everyone's wondering, you know, what about the family? Isn't it the family's responsibility? That's what MASC is trying to do.
We are the family.
The only family that they have
yeah,
at this point.
We are the family.
And how can we listening today that don't live in this in these areas, how can we help? What's the best way
well,
to find
we
out?
We have a website, www.getbehindthemask.org. You can go there and find out how you can volunteer, make donations, get involved. We'll be starting patrols back up spring break. And it's the first day of spring break for CPS students.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be starting back up then, and we'll be going, you know, strong during the summer. And we are hoping that we have an army of thousands because, I mean, we have thousands of corners and blocks in this city.
Right.
And we need parents on all of them. So please go to the website. Check it out. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. I don't know how to tell you how to find us on Instagram because I'm old and I don't know. But we're on Twitter, too, but kind of the same deal.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so that's if you want to get involved, that's how you find us.
All right.
God bless you and God bless your neighborhood. Please stay safe, both of you, Gwinyayi and Tamar Manasseh. You can go to MASK, Mothers Against Senseless Killings. That would be getbehindthemask.org. Good luck.
Thank you so much.
Thank you both. We've got news coming your way next, and then Doc Emrick. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.